This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
What up? I am Jay Gray, joined here by the man, the myth, the legend, Marco Coleman. Marco, are you awake today?
I'm up, JG. Man, I'm up. This shooting stepped on the scene.
This is going to be the fun show. I'm telling you right now.
Yes, sir.
Because this is where the fans get to call in and say whatever they want to the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Give us a call. Let us know what you thought about the game. First thing I want to know from you, Marco, you played.
Yes, sir.
Does the first game really mean anything?
It actually
does. As a player?
It does. You know, because if you're playing this game, practice has got to be important to you. And that's what this is, a dress rehearsal. So as many as you can get without getting injured, that's the key factor. You know, you want to be in midseason form when the season starts. So these preseason games, in actuality, the wins and losses aren't a big deal, but the preparation, extremely important.
So you as a player, even though if the Jags, you know, they lost tonight pretty badly, you'd still go out and have a drink or two, relax, get ready for the thing the next game, even though it was a bad loss?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, whether you win or lose, you got to go ahead and it's either you're going to be cheering, you know, having all the spirits because you win, or you're drying your sorrows. It's one of the two. So, you know, the drink is in order.
Exactly. 355-NFL1, we're taking your calls. Here's the deal. When it comes to a game like this, I don't think it's that big of a deal that they lost. I also don't think it's that big of a deal the way the guys played. You saw Blaine Gabbert throw the interception, but it really wasn't his fault. It went off the guy's hands. So you can't even look at the stats and say, all right, this guy clearly won, this guy clearly lost.
Nah.
So for the guys trying to make the team, is it a big deal for them, or is it for the guys that are veterans, is it not the biggest deal?
You figure each guy is going to be different. Each guy has a different mindset going in. You know, if you're a veteran, a guy like Derek Marks, you know, coming in, playing on a new team, being able to get out and start off fast, getting a sack, that's big for him to get that momentum and earn the respect of the team, not necessarily by jabber-jawing, but here it is in his action and in his play. A guy like Gabbert, I mean, hey, you're in a competition. You're trying to figure out if you're going to be a starter or a backup. Whole different scenario. So now this game is extremely important, and mistakes are magnified in that situation. And then you take a guy, you know, a guy like Palmer. He's fighting to just make the squad. So muffing a punt, not something that you want to do,
well, baby. Yeah, that's the other question that I'm going to ask you. Adam Yates missing a field goal. He probably wasn't making the team anyway. Palmer, Miles, muff punts. Are those guys basically done? Is it one mistake and you're done for those kind of guys?
Nah, but, you know, for those guys, you can't make many mistakes. You know, they're going to chalk this up as being the first preseason game. Now, they're going to get a lot more opportunities. You know, hopefully they're still around. There's going to be a cut before that last preseason game. So you figure the reps are going to start to minimize, though. Now, you figure this next preseason game, you're going to have the vets play a little bit more. And that third one, you know, if you're a guy that's, you know, you might not see a lot of time, but definitely in that third preseason game. But that fourth one, if you're still around, that's going to make the difference of whether you hang around or not.
355-NFL1. Let's start it off on the Metro PCS call-in line. Let's go to, what is this, Scabby from the south side?
Sakib? Hey, man, what's up?
Sakib, what's going on, baby?
I'm sorry, man. It's, you know, this is my first show, too.
Hey, Marco knows who I am.
I know who I am. That's
my dude.
Long as
he knows who I am.
I got you, see. I didn't know he was jacking around, man. But we're going to help JG. You know, get welcomed in as to, you know, my man.
It's preseason for him, too.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. I'm just getting warmed up. Yeah. You know, JP kept the seat nice and warm.
I called in every day, every Jaguar game last year. And you know what? It is a bad loss for us. I was cheering my, you know what, off. I'm still going to be a fan no matter what. We went through a bad, bad year last year. I was made fun of at my work every single week. But you know what? I sticked it out, just like I'm going to stick it out no matter what was going on. But what I have a problem with is this quarterback stuff. When, Marco, you've been around this team for a long time, are we ever going to have a quarterback that can say this is the starting quarterback for next 10 years? Because I'm, like, tired of just going back and forth from David Garrard, no offense to him, God bless him, to all these other guys. I just want a quarterback that I can trust and I can believe and I can just say, he's the man here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm just like, man, this has got to stop. We got to find a guy that we can we the fans can go around with and just be our man for next 10, 15 years.
Well, you know what?
That's for many years.
Yeah, but
we have to find that guy.
Right. It's
just
tough to
having that guy.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to tell you what, Saqib. If you look at all 32 teams, you probably have maybe I'm going to say maybe eight, Jay. What you think?
Yeah,
probably about eight.
Thing.
That eight of legit. It's hard to find.
If everybody had a quarterback, everybody would be good every year.
Yeah, it's really tough to find those guys. You know, you figure we talk about Luck, RG3, and Russell Wilson.
They did it one year.
What about Cam Newton in his second year?
Exactly.
We threw him under the bus after doing the same type of things that those guys did.
Consistent winners. You got Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. After that,
Breeze
doesn't win the big one every year, you know?
You only got a handful, man. To get that franchise quarterback is tough to do. What you got to do is have a good team. You figure getting to the Super Bowl, contrary to popular belief, you need to have a good team and a serviceable quarterback. Mr. Dilfer proved that.
Flacco last year.
Terry Bradshaw. I mean, Jim McMahon. I mean, the list goes on. You got to have a good team.
Yeah, I mean, Flacco wasn't the best quarterback. Nobody thought of him as an elite level. And what does he do? He goes out and wins a Super Bowl.
Got rings.
Taking your calls.
And money.
Exactly. Taking your calls, 355-NFL1. I was wondering, Marco, I wanted to know how long it would take before we heard this guy's name on the program. And it took the second call of the first ever scoreboard show here. Let's go to Brian on the beaches. Brian, I really didn't want to take your call, but I'm going to anyway. What do you think about the Jags QB situation?
They're terrible and they suck.
Oh, B.
And who do you want to see
up,
here?
We should have picked up Tebow.
Come on, dude. Tebow already.
He's a winner.
Wait, okay.
All right, what's his record in the NFL compared to Blaine Gabbert's?
They're pretty close, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not. Okay. Tebow has a winning record. Gabbert is...
When was the last time Tebow played?
Awful.
When was the last time Tebow played?
The Jets... Been a while, but guess what? He wins.
I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the world.
How many playoff wins does Gabbert have?
Okay, how good was the defense that Tebow played with?
How many times did the kicker kick 50-yard field goals? I mean, people forget about every game that Tebow played in.
We'd have a full stadium.
And
if you had Tom Brady,
14 team.
You'd have a full stadium if you had Drew Brees. If you were winning games, that's all that matters in the NFL is winning games. That fills your stadium. It doesn't matter players. And as far as
the
Tebow
Jaguars
goes,
the Jaguars are lucky if they win four or five games this year.
They're rebuilding.
They
I mean, what do you want from
stay
them?
Bad.
I mean, listen, I'm not a quarterback apologist. I know, but I'm not a quarterback apologist. One guy you can actually make excuses for is Gabbert. What quarterback do you know has three coaches in 3 years? I mean, you got to at least look at that and say, give him a little bit of time. If everybody keeps coming in with Tebow this, Tebow that, what's that going to do for the guy's confidence? What's he going to say when all the fans are rooting against him? I mean, come on, dude.
This is going to be a good year for him.
If we had got Tebow when he was first available, we would have never had all these coaches. It would have solved the problem.
I think Tebow would have caused a lot more problems than. I was wondering how long it would take for somebody to mention Tebow. It's like, come on, man. I mean, the guy didn't prove anything in the NFL. He's got a great defense. For the majority of the games, he was awful, except for the last 2 minutes. And I'm not a smart dude. Rex Ryan is a smart guy. He wins games. If he had such a horrible quarterback situation and still wouldn't put Tebow in, what does that say?
That's what I'm saying.
355 NFL1 starting off with a bang this year, man. I love it. Love it. Let's keep it going. Let's go with Chris in Tallahassee. Chris, how you doing today?
Hey, how are you guys?
You're fired up already, man. How
you
doing,
Chris?
Man, I tell you what, how do I follow that? I have no idea.
just don't say Tebow, you'll be all right.
I didn't go to the game tonight. I watched it on TV from Tallahassee, and I had the opportunity to flip back and forth and watch Tim Tebow play in the second half against third and fourth stringers, and he looked horrible. So I think that guy, whoever made the phone call, should have watched the game tonight and realized that if Tim Tebow can't make a throw against third stringers, he probably can't start for the Jaguars.
Yeah, listen, this isn't college. It's
not at all.
It's not. I mean, he did what he did in Denver, and it was, you know, nobody can explain that. And it did work out for the better for them, but you couldn't duplicate what he did there. Everybody knows that if somebody thought he could do it, he would have started last year. That's as simple as it is.
Let's just move on beyond Tebow.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the real team and the Jaguars.
Let's talk
about our team.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little rough today, but you know what? I saw a lot of good things. I saw a defense the first three series that shut down the first team offense of the Dolphins, and had we not three and outed, and had Ace Sanders not drop the third down pass, and had our fullback not had a ball fall off his helmet and get intercepted, maybe we would have scored or continued to drive a little bit, and our defense wouldn't have gave up the touchdown or two in the first half. But I mean, I think Gus got something going on. He's got people fired up. They're playing hard on defense, and I think we'll be better than last year on defense. I don't know if we're going to be elite like we want to be, but I think we'll be better. And I think when we get our three main cogs back on offense with Cecil and Justin and Maurice Jones-Drew, I think Blaine or Henny, whoever ends up being, will look a whole lot better, because you got three main guys catching passes and running the ball for you. You're going to look a lot better on offense.
That's for sure. Yeah, I think a lot of positive things came out of this. I mean, you figure it was the first preseason game, and you saw your young guys make plays. You had your rookie wide receivers come out there and do something. You had your rookie running back and Denard Robinson. Your rookie play guy or whatever. What do you call him?
Offensive weapon.
Make a play or two. You had your rookie corner come up with a big play. You had your big-time free agent defensive tackle make a big play. A lot of positives, you know, to take out of this game. And of course, some things to work on, you know, the turnovers. And all these things are things that you get in a first preseason game. Man, this is the first live action.
I got to tell you, I was pumped that first series for the defense.
Man,
long last year were we complaining, we need pressure. And then to go out and get a sack on the first series in the first preseason game. Nothing but great signs going forward.
And what was good about that is Kat, he did it on a double team. I mean, he just whooped these two guys, man. I thought that was – you should have saw me up in the press box.
That was a Coleman play?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know if I always had this thing with that cat. That was a nice play by my marks. Really nice play.
355-NFL-1, going back to the Metro PCS call-in line. Let's go to Karen on line one. Karen, how you doing today?
Hey, Karen.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Marco, this is Karen Fine. I come and see you before every game, and you weren't out there today. Where were you?
Karen, they told me to
Marco
not
missed
come
a
outside.
Meeting. Marco missed a meeting. We'll put it that way. So he got punished a little bit.
A few changes have been made. I think if you make a big enough stink about it, Karen, I think we'll be back outside for you. I need your help.
Because you know, Marco, I can do that.
Yeah, I need you.
And Jay, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love it. I love getting love on the first show.
I will wait for you every game. It has nothing to do with the game, because I probably drank too much beer to be thrilled to pay attention to the game.
I hear that a lot from the ladies.
What are you talking about?
This is my third thing, Marco and Jay, is the radio station. We drive from Ocala to every game, and we're driving home right now, and we usually, when we get on 301, we lose your station. We've got you loud and clear on your station.
The new
so
good
I
signal,
love that.
New game,
that's
post game, new
up.
Game scoreboard
yes,
show. Love
we're
it.
Stronger, come back bigger, badder. Hey, we stand united.
Yeah, Karen, you got to call in every week. I love the call. Love getting love on the first show, man. I mean, people are pumped up. People are excited. Unfortunately, we got to take a quick break first. So, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, foods, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Coming back, give us a call, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Taking your calls on the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Yeah, welcome back to the Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We need to call them up and get some free samples this late night.
They need to bring us the purple bag, baby.
It's almost midnight. We could use some Crown Royal in here. Getting fired up on the Scoreboard Show. The Metro PCS hotlines are lit up tonight. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Taking your calls. I am Jay Gray, joined here with Marco Coleman, talking all about the game. Got a little Tebow talk in there already. Let's keep the calls going. Let's go with Bill on the south side. Bill, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing real good.
Thanks for staying up late with us tonight.
Yeah, sure. I just constantly hear you guys talking about Blaine Gabbert and criticizing him, and I think you guys have a quarterback. I mean, you need to get some guys out there that can actually catch the ball. You need to have an offensive line that would protect the quarterback. I mean, we got Blackman last year, and every team we played knew that he's the only guy that could catch the ball, and it continues to double-team him. So I think the problem is you need to get some guys that can catch the ball, and you need to have an offensive line that will protect the quarterback.
Yeah, thanks for the call, but I think we got guys that can catch the ball.
I do too. I don't think that's the issue. I mean, even last season, I mean, Blaine was getting better during the course of the season, but he still made throws that weren't good. I mean, Blackman wasn't catching the ball, I would say, early on in the season. Started to get it going later in the season, but
yeah, and to Bill's point, they were double teaming him, and look what happened to Cecil Shorts. Yeah, breakout year. Breakout, so when he comes back, Blackman comes back. Add A. Sanders to the mix, plus the offensive weapon, Denard Robinson.
Hey,
this offense could be good this year.
It could, but if you actually look at the stats though for today, it says a different thing though in Henny's favor. You figure you got a passer rating for Gabbert that was 16.7, and Mr. Henny 95.6. Completion ratio 73% for Henny and 50% for Gabbert. 1.9 yards per catch for a pass for Gabbert. Henny, hey, 7.9. So if you look at it statistically, Gabbert, you know, he's a low man on the totem pole right now. So we might see a different starter come next week.
I was thinking the same thing, but not even because of tonight. If there's a true quarterback battle going on, just like we saw in practice this week, where one day it would be Gabbert, one day it would be Henny, we could easily see Henny, no matter how they played, we could see them next week.
And you know what? In listening to Gus, and it seems like he's going to make it a fair competition, that's only fair. It's similar to what a couple of other teams that are having this quarterback battle going on, giving guys opportunities. We don't have a starter, but they're going to both get opportunities. And giving Henny that start in the beginning, it'll say a lot to see if he can get that offense going real early.
Mentioned in the pregame show, Chip Kelly's doing the same thing. He's got a quarterback battle. He had Vic start tonight, going to have Foles start next week. And then when the Jags, when they come here to play the Jags, who knows who's going to be the starter?
And realistically, you know, whichever quarterback is in there, there's enough weapons on this offense that they don't have to be spectacular passers. Shorts, Blackman, Sanders, Brown, Maurice Jones-Drew. Keep forgetting about this big old tight end, Mercedes Lewis.
Guys can run after the catch.
Yeah,
you only need to have little dump offs and let them go.
That's it.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Going back to the Metro PCS call in line with O'Neill in Middleburg. O'Neill, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Even though the Jags didn't pull off a victory, and I just wanted to let you all know the sportsmanship. With the fans and the Dolphin fans, before we had the Jaguars, we had the Dolphins, I just wanted to let y'all know I'm a diehard Jaguar fan. I love the Jaguars, especially the original team. Especially they're in my heart and soul, and I just wanted to say how much I appreciate everybody over there, at the stadium. I was there at the game, and no fights whatsoever except for the younger generation. And I just wanted to let y'all know.
Yeah, thanks for the call, O'Neill. O'Neill wasn't hanging out in the Bud Zone because I saw a couple fights almost go down hanging
out. The Bud Zone gets out.
See, I'm a man of the people. I'm one of those guys. I'm going to be out there in the thick of the Bud Zone, hanging out with the fans, seeing what they're doing during the game instead of sitting up in the press box, my pinky up, drinking my tea, talking to the other sports guys. I want to be down with the fans. I want to get involved with that kind of stuff. And there were a couple pretty close blows going down.
I can imagine, man. That Bud Zone looks like it's tight. I mean, you figure if you're under 30, well, probably about like 30. That Bud Zone is a hot spot, baby.
Exactly. I mean, especially, if you got seats that aren't great, you go to the Bud Zone. Yeah. You know, the beer's right there.
What was the deal today? The ticket, it's $20, buy a ticket, and you actually get to stand in the stadium. You didn't necessarily have a seat. It was it was a deal. But, that's you just hang out in the Bud Zone, have you some brews. It's a heck of a deal.
I'm down with that.
Oh, yeah.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Going back to the Metro PCS call-in line with Lee in Orange Park. Lee, thanks for staying up so late. This is the Scoreboard Show.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah, this is my first time calling in at any show, so you have to kind of bear with me.
Oh, we're with you, Lee.
Hey, it's my first time hosting a Jaguar show, so we're in this together.
Well, congratulations.
You too.
Now, I just wanted to make a point. Anybody that is upset over the fact the Jags lost, they should just get over it. This is a pregame. The whole idea is to see what the other guy has got. And that's what the Dolphins used to do to us all the time. So now we know what they've got, and they don't know what we've got. So I just think that it's a good thing that we did lose, because what counts is when the season actually starts.
Exactly. Everything matters with wins and losses. And I don't think people are necessarily upset that they lost. I think people are wondering, is it going to be the same old Jags? We've seen it for a couple years now, struggling to score on offense, losing games in pretty much blowout fashion. They're wondering, is this a sign of things to come, or is it the fact that the majority of the stars are out of the game, so of course your offense is going to look sluggish? Miami's already played one game. They've got their guys ready to go and know what they need to do. It's the Jags' first game with a new coach and basically an all-new team.
Yeah, I mean, you feel, ultimately, the players want to win. Everybody wants to win the game, but this is the practice season. They call it preseason. It's the practice season. You go all the way back to zero when these 4 weeks are over, and you really get to see what you're made of. It's about getting better each and every week, and I think here was a good start. You got a lot of good stuff that they can go in and say we did a great job on, and you got some stuff to work on. So now they get a gauge to see where you are. That's what the preseason is all about.
Case in point, Jags won 3 games last year in the preseason. Didn't transition well into the regular season.
Not at all.
So preseason means nothing when it comes to wins and losses. Taking your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Maurice downtown. This isn't Maurice Jones-Drew, is it? What are you doing calling in already?
Hey, no, it's not Mojo. But, this is Maurice from North Carolina. I'm a transplant, but I'm just going to tell you. I think that what the Jaguars really need is a front line. It seems like they can't move the ball at all. Every time a quarterback turns around, he's got somebody trying to clean his clock. And you can't do that no matter how many superstars you have with good hands or good feet. You just got to have somebody to keep that man off of him so he can make a play. And I just think that front line is the whole problem.
Oh yeah. Really?
Well, you got some. These guys got to get to playing together. That's what the preseason is all about. Rackley was out last season. You got a rookie that's in there at the right tackle. Meester wasn't in there. You know, I mean, you got your bellwether right there. That's the guy that really makes everything work. And once you get all those guys in there, you get the cohesive unit. You get your running back in there. You get the throwing. I mean, it's a lot of things that I believe that the Jaguars are going to do to keep defenses off balance and not necessarily have to put their quarterback in that type of position. If a defense is on their heels, they can't just lay their ears back and go. It's going to be important, I guess, for the Jaguars not to get really far behind, to expose, you know, I guess, whatever weakness there might be in the offensive line and having to just get pass happy and going deep.
Yeah, and that was a big problem last year. I mean, how many different offensive line combinations did we have last year? It's you definitely need the continuity because people are going to make calls. You know, it's like anything. You work with a guy, you know what his weaknesses are, you know what his strengths are. So if you see a guy that you know his weakness they're exploiting, you can maybe help out a little bit, whereas if you're playing against somebody new that you've never played with before, you have no familiarity with that at all.
Well, I mean, the preseason – the team is working on things. They want to see how this guy works in this position. Who can we put in different spots? Putting people in the most difficult situation. Mind you now, there was no game planning before they go into this thing. So you're looking at the Miami Dolphins front, and you got, you know, Brewster in there at the, you know, a second year guy, a center, you know, and the quarterback. They don't know. You got basic stuff that they only can work on. So it's kind of hard to determine the strengths and weaknesses without a true game plan going into an actual game. I think that third preseason game,
that's the big one.
That's when you're going to be able to see.
And it's here.
That's when you gauge what you got.
That's always the most fun one to watch. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Going back to the Metro PCS call-in line. Let's go to Josh in Arlington. Josh, how you doing this late night? You're on Late Night with Jay and Marco.
Hey, Jay and Marco. And Marco, I've been listening to you for years, man. Great show. Jay, you're doing a good job. Keep it up.
Thanks, man.
Here's my take on it. Now, I'm going to be up front. I'm kind of in the Gabbert camp a little bit. But wouldn't you want, if no one's pulling away, wouldn't you want to go ahead and get a starter in there so he could get the most reps, in the camp and in practice and even in the preseason with the number ones versus, just kind of having him go back and forth with the number ones? Because it doesn't seem like either one of them quite has the time, you know, the timing down. I know we didn't see Cecil and, you know, Maurice in the backfield and Blackman, of course, but I'd kind of want to have, you know, a number one kind of going into it, you know, in the near future, you know, in the next few days, I would hope.
Well, you got time. You still got three more preseason games. I think by that third preseason game, the coaches will have determined who's going to be their guy. That guy that gets the majority of reps. I don't think they're going to wait to the fourth preseason game because, you know,
these guys
might not even play. It's going to be that within the next after this second preseason game, it's going to be a decision made. So I would think anyway going into that third preseason game.